Welcome to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. Your host, Jen Narciso, interviews amazing guests each week to help you become educated, be inspired by other money stories, and stay motivated on your own wealth-building journey. No matter where you are financially, whether you're in debt or financially free, this podcast is for you. Now sit back and enjoy.
Welcome back to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. I'm your host, Jen Narciso. Happy Thursday, everyone. I know this is a time of year for spring cleaning. I am getting my house in order during the time of Passover. We try to do a deep dive clean, essentially, to get rid of all of the bread products and everything like what we call chametz, or I'm probably butchering this right now, but we try to get rid of all the non-kosher for Passover items at our house. So it's a really great excuse to clean. And so I am all about it. And while we're cleaning up our house, I'm also all about cleaning up our finances. And so this is a great time of year to just take a pause. If you have not had a date with your significant other or with yourself, I highly encourage you to do so. Check in with yourself. See where you're at this year. Where has your money gone over the past 3 months? Have you gone over budget? Have you gone under budget? Do you have a budget? Do you know where your income's going? Have you been paying down debt? Have you been saving? Have you been reaching your money goals? All these are great questions that I hope you are answering yourself. And if there's any way I can be helpful to you on this journey or in answering any of these questions, definitely reach out and let me know, because I would like to help you. This is a great time of year to pause, reset, and course correct where you are. Whatever you've done or not done in the past 3 months, don't worry about it. Spring is in the air, so let's get our money house in order. And so this is a perfect segue in today's episode. I have the pleasure of bringing on Karen Azer. Karen is a financial literacy expert and coach. She's also a speaker, and she wrote the book Mind of Gold, The Girlfriend's Guide to Financial Freedom. It's a phenomenal book. I highly encourage you to get it. It's an easy read, but it's also helpful and super informative too. And on today's episode, we talk about everything from insurance policies to we do some really fun exercises that I really encourage you to do yourself. If you're driving, maybe don't do it right now, but later on in the evening, if you have some time, definitely go back and re-listen and do it when you have some time. Go through these exercises. They were a lot of fun. And these are great also group activities. So I'm excited to get some of my friends together and do some of these activities. And Karen and I had also talked about maybe doing an Instagram live session with people to do some of these fun exercises as well, which you'll see. But I do want to give a caveat, a little legal disclaimer. Anything that we talk about in this episode is not financial advice. We are not financial professionals. This is all for entertainment purposes only. So any product or any strategies that Karen or I talk about, this is do your own research, speak to your own financial professional or attorney or tax accountant. There is no specific advice that we are giving here. You have to do your own research, your own due diligence. And so I just want to leave the caveat that, again, anything mentioned in this episode is not actual advice. So definitely go speak to a professional. All right. So without further ado, Karen, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
No, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. I love the work that you're doing. I know we're going to dive into it. But before we do, I would love for you to share your money story.
Sure. So I was in the traditional investment business for about 25 years. But one of the reasons I really like to talk about what I'm doing and working individually with women with the mindset is because while I was managing multi-million dollar portfolios, I actually had a lot of money blocks. And one of the things that I realized is that my father was somebody who didn't use money in the best way. And I made a vow very early on that I want to hang on to my money. And so when I started to dive into the mindset issues, I thought, wow, this is really powerful, because I saw so many women coming through our offices. And once I started to uncover the mindset blocks that we have, and whether you don't want to keep money, whether you waste money or you're defined by money, you know, unhealthy money habits is something that I saw coming through the door, but I'd only looked at it from a financial perspective. But when I started looking at it and see how it really impacted their lives, and then once they started to overcome these issues, that's when I really got excited. And I was so happy when I met with my partner, Erica Neal, with Financial Literacy for Her. We thought, let's come together and let's really help women not only conquer their mindset issue, but then we'll help them in a practical way to actually put it into motion. And also making sure that you align your purpose with your values. And so that's something that's really, really important to us. And so we spend a lot of time with that to say, is all of this lining up? Because when any of those pieces are out of alignment, things are off balance and you don't get to where you want to go. And then it becomes a big money block.
Yeah, no, for sure. That makes total sense. So for somebody who's not good with money, what are the first couple of things you say to them or help them figure out what's going on? Like what their issues are, what's the situation?
One of the big things you do, it's almost a little bit like therapy. It's like, what did you hear growing up? Because it usually, a lot of times it comes down to, what did you hear growing up? What did you have? Was it a positive thing? Was it a negative thing? Most people who need help, it usually wasn't a positive thing. It's usually because the parents fought. You know, that's another thing that happened with me. I grew up with parents who fought about money constantly. So I'm like, I don't want to talk about money because all it does is it creates tension. And so it's easier just to block it out and pretend it's not there. And so that's one of the big things, get to the root cause. And also you can look, you can look to see what are some of their money habits. Do you, you know, are you cranking up debt? Are you somebody who's really worried about what people think about you, but you're keeping up with the Joneses and I think it's about appearances. So why does that matter so much to you? And then really unlocking, what do you value? Because then it's a matter of bringing it into alignment.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. Do you find though that people who do the dig deep a little bit though, do they tend to slip back into old money habits, or what I guess makes someone successful in overcoming these things?
Funny you asked that. It's, you know, that's why financial coaching and I don't even tell you, obviously we're a financial coaching company, so I don't want to always, I'm not talking my book, so to speak, but it's very important to have somebody that can hold you accountable. Some of the things we'll be talking about later in our conversation are some exercises that you can do, but if you don't have somebody, not only somebody who can keep you accountable, but it has to be somebody you can hear from. That is the number one success factor, is who's keeping you accountable? Who do you surround yourself with? And can you hear from them? Because when you need some tough love and some reminders, you need somebody you can hear from and has permission to speak into your life in that way.
Yeah, no, that makes 100% sense. Because I find often people, I actually have heard people who are maybe a little later in the money game, and they're now realizing, oh my goodness, I was asleep at the wheel all this time. Now, what do I do? How do I start? What would you say to someone in that situation? Maybe they didn't have a traumatic money experience. They just didn't really know. But now they've woken up to, my kids are getting to college soon, or they're not babies anymore, but we still don't even have retirement, or we're just starting. We did the 401k thing, but not consistently. I've heard that a lot too. And I'm just curious what you would tell someone in that situation.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, because it can come from almost any angle, as you said, whether it's having issues or just you're late in the game. First, I'd say breathe. That's the first thing I say. It's very important to breathe. We can find a way. But also there's some creative money products that you can put that can make some money very quickly. And so a lot of it is looking at the products, the different kind of products that could really help expedite that, you know, and how much liquidity do you need? When do you need it? So you're looking at your time frame. And again, it goes back to, what are your goals and what do you want your retirement to look like?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Because a lot of it is people just want to say, I want a lot of money. I don't think I have enough money, but what is that number for you? And what do you want to do? And what's it going to take to get there? So a lot of it is, like I said, breathing and saying, okay, where are we going with this? And let's make a plan to make that work. And whether it's downsizing, or whether it's changing your lifestyle, or even partially adjusting your dream and think of there are more creative ways to do what you want in your retirement as well.
As I love, though, when you do get your money right, that freedom of flexibility, it's not so much about living like the Joneses. It's more of just, what do you want to do with your life, which you only have one of, and you only have so much time. And how can you optimize so that you can figure out that what is important to you and do all the things that you want to do, whether it's with your family, your kids, or not, or friends, whatever, whoever, just to be able to do what you want when you want.
and not only that, like you said, and you know, I'd rather do exactly what I want to do and then have a big nest egg to leave as a legacy for somebody else and have a lot left over versus having to live off of somebody just to survive.
Yes. And I've seen that, because right now the cost of, with aging parents and stuff, and when I had to deal some stuff with my grandparents and my mom, and the cost of living in like an assisted living or a nursing home is absurd right now. Oh my goodness. For my grandmother, it was $10,000 a month just for, and she had to do it for 2 years, otherwise before Medicaid kicked in. And like, not a lot of people have 10 grand a month. And that's just her for a nursing home. If we wanted to have her home with round the clock care, forget about it. I mean, you're paying a full-time employee like person. This is not cheap.
And I actually have a good pro tip for you here, right there. I'll just sneak this in as well. And that is the fact is that especially if you've got a parent and they're not in assisted living, you know, we're talking about 5-10 years out, maybe 15, thinking about that, is there are a lot of annuities right now out there that have riders on them, life insurance, their annuities or their life insurance policy that do have the riders on there. So that if you are getting near that time and you need this happen pretty quick, you can see it down the road, I'd really highly encourage people to look up those annuities.
So I'm going to ask something because I've heard a lot of negativity around annuities
with fees and I was one of those people that used to be an annuity basher big time.
Yeah.
You know, the issue and that's why it's very clear on the purpose for it.
Okay.
And that is the biggest issue with annuities is you don't get liquidity and you don't get a huge return. However, if you got an insurance rider, now that you've looked at these, how much this money cost, you know, with your parents, you've now seen how much that costs. If you're getting 6% with a rider to cover your parents, that's a pretty good return. Now, is that money that you're going to want to, that's not money you're going to actually have out of your, to use for your day-to-day kind of stuff. So it's a purpose-driven part.
Aren't those very heavily fee though?
No, they're not. There's a lot of really good creative products out there. I don't sell those specifically, but I was an annuity basher for a very long time. And when I actually looked at them a little closely, the problem is there are a lot out there that aren't good products. And so they give a bad name. They give a really bad rap. When you look at these that have riders on them and everything else, you're talking about a net cost too. So that's why it's important to look at the net cost, because you're looking at how much cost your retirement home is, or your assisted living, your memory care or disability or any of that kind of thing. Is some disability policy, you're paying your premium and it's out the door. Or you can do annuity making 6% and you actually get something, you're getting a return on that. So it's the same money out of your pocket where you're getting you're paying for a disability that you don't get anything other than the insurance policy. But if you're doing it as an annuity, you get a 6% on it. So you get a twofer.
I see what you're saying.
So they have lots of riders. So doing a pure annuity just for a return, No. Don't do those. There are other ways to get that money, but when you get them attached with riders, you can get, there are a lot of really interesting policies out there right now.
And I know this wasn't the main topic, but I just find it very relevant, especially for a lot of moms out there who are a sandwich generation and they're taking care of their kids. And they're
that's why I felt compelled to say something.
Thank you. Cause I literally had just done this last year with my mom and my grandmother it was very, very stressful. And so what we did is because my mom had early onset Alzheimer's. And so I was really worried about me potentially getting it. So we have a universal life policy that I have a rider that I could use for memory care attached in case, so that if something happens to me, I can use that policy as like our, instead of a long-term care policy, I can use that.
Well, and again, the thing that's important to with these annuities are you're a little bit younger. Most of these annuities with all these riders, you have to be 55 or older. So again, that I was addressing specifically that question, who's late, that person late in the game. Is a very narrow answer to that question.
No, thank you for clarifying. Yeah, no, I think it's so important. And I want to do another episode really in more detail of aging parents and different scenarios and how to navigate, because our healthcare system is atrocious beyond belief.
It's a train wreck.
And you really need to be educated and even know what questions to ask. It's very difficult. And even me, we're young, fortunately, but I don't want my kids to deal with it. So we're trying to prepare now with everything. And so I will also say a pro tip of, if you do not have estate docs in place, you do not have a will or a healthcare directive or power of attorney, please get that for your family, because you never know what will happen to you. And especially if you have kids and stuff, you got to get that stuff in order, or you're going to give them a major, major headache in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why we emphasize that in almost every chapter in our book. It's like, did we say this? Yeah. Let's say it again in case you didn't. But I wanted to highlight that opportunity, because I know a lot of your listeners, their parents might need these policies.
Yep.
So it's definitely something that it's worth investigating.
Yeah, no, awesome. I appreciate it. So, well, now we can go back to the other main topic of, you know, mental blocks and all this, but I think it's all just really good, important information to educate our moms out there, especially since there's so much mixed messaging and just a lot of information, how to sift through what's really to your benefit and especially what a financial advisor is just pitching. Cause that's also like, I know a lot of these have heavy rewards or incentives for brokers to mm-hmm. push to. And so it's not always the easiest to figure out what's really in your best interest and not. So,
you know, and that's one of the things that, we talk about in our book,
which is a great book, by the way. And I didn't get a chance to read all of it, but I read a majority of it and it was an excellent book. So I'll definitely
thank you so much. And from what you read, that's one of the things I want to do is, but you need to talk to all these service providers, but we wanted to arm you with information. So you go in there with confidence. So when they're talking about financial products, they're talking about insurance products. I mean, that's why we even called it a guidebook.
Yeah.
Because it's something I want in yourself. You'll go back to and say, okay, I'm going to go see my accountant now. What are the five things I need to remember? And you can go back and it's your tickler list.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's one of those things that it's really important to just be armed. That's what your show is about, right? It's arming people with information.
Yeah.
And the more you know, it's easier to put into action with confidence.
Especially when you meet with financial advisors, there's a lot of big terms. There's a lot of scary things that, and a lot of times I've found that they pitch it in a way that makes you seem stupid if you don't know it. And I don't know, at least that was my experience a couple of times with a couple of advisors. They're just talking like, it's a lot of times you may not feel comfortable asking a question because you feel like you should know the answer to it. When it's like, no, if you don't understand it, that's a huge red flag. And do not like, make sure you understand anything. It's your money, whatever you're going to do or whatever you're going to find the right person for you. If you choose to have a financial advisor or whatever, like you said, make sure you're armed and know just even the terminology, like insurance policies. We can have a whole episode on that. I mean,
so I just recently read some fascinating stats, and that was the fact that 75% of women don't even want to talk about money. 80% of them are petrified to talk to a financial advisor.
That does not surprise me, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The numbers are pretty high. Yeah. And it was done by the American Institute of Finance. I mean, it was a reputable group who did this, and they actually did a financial literacy test and everything, you know. Shameless plug. We talk about it on our website and other places.
I'll put all of these links in the show notes so you'll have access to all of Karen's resources, all the great things she's doing in her Facebook group and the book and everything. So
yeah, I'll continue. Send that to you. You have it at your finger, you know, fingertips. It's pretty fast.
Great.
But
oh, thank you.
But anyway, so let's fight that. And that's one of the reasons I love what you're doing on this show so much is you're educating women.
Yeah.
And you're giving them confidence. And that's why they come back week after week, right?
Yeah. And I have also find even because it was funny, I was talking to a guy friend of mine who's a real estate agent. And he's like, oh, so Investor Mama, yada, yada, yada. And then he just had his first, I think he had a boy, he had a son. And he's like, now I get it. Because it's very different also when you're a parent and you're thinking about money and all the things. Like, it's one thing when you're saving and budgeting or even thinking about or not thinking about money, but it's a whole other ball game when you're doing it with kids. If you're real estate investing, or you may want to start a business, or even just working in a 9-to-5, once the kids are in the picture, at least for me, I found it's financial independence, financial freedom is a very different ball game. And there's a lot of nuance that's not talked about. So.
And it's a lifetime decision. It's not, the stakes are higher. You run up your credit card bill before kids. It's like, okay, well, I'll eat peanut butter and jelly for a week. It's not the same once you have kids.
Yeah. And I am a true believer that once you have kids, not only should you get your money house in order, I feel it's an obligation to set the right example for the next generation, or they're going to have the same money roadblocks or the money mishaps mm-hmm. And the thing is, I also always say too, is that it's like, if you aren't in the best financial position, like that's okay. It's not your fault. You were never taught. How were you supposed to know? It's not like they teach this stuff in school. And if your parents didn't really know, or even if they did know, I know in that generation, money wasn't the cool thing to talk about at the dinner table. It was actually frowned upon in a lot of families.
Yeah, exactly.
So how now all of a sudden, I feel like there's a great opportunity to just educate. And yeah, especially for that next generation, it's just so important to get the minds right.
You know, and also women control over half the finances.
Yeah.
You know, whether they know what they're doing or not. So let's arm them with education.
Yeah, no, 100%, 100%. Well, I would love to, I know we talked a little bit about these exercises. I would love if you would share one of your exercises.
Oh, yes, I'd be happy to.
We'll have a little fun time.
this is really fun. So this is like getting your jammies and be comfy and let's listen to this. And
so note to self, if you're driving, you can still do this. But if you want to re-listen to this episode at night, break out a glass of wine, some like candles.
I actually didn't consider that when I was talking about this, because when I tell you to close your eyes, I'm just about to tell you close your eyes, please don't if you're driving, but you can imagine what we're going to do. So just before we start in this exercise is, you know, one of the things that we believe really strongly in financial literacy for her is you really need to know what your purpose and your values are so that you can align your finances with them. And also one of the things that's important too is that as you said earlier on in this conversation, it's your life. And so often we live for people tell us what they think we're good at and what we should do. And we live our life for them and not knowing what we kind of infrastructure if you're not tied to it, if you don't believe in it. So we really want to help you find out what do I believe in? Because that's what I'll do on the hard days when I have to make some tough decisions. So to that end, let's find out who you are.
Let's do this.
Let's do this. Okay. So if you can and you can do it safely, close your eyes. And what I'd like you to do we're starting out this is peace. This is getting all the noise out of your mind. So I want you and I want you to think about your life. And what you need to remove from it is anything that stresses you whatsoever, whether that's your kids, you have a boss, you have loud neighbors, whatever's or the voices in your head, that could be whatever they are. Just remove those. Have it a very peaceful scene. Because then you can really dig deep and think about what's really, really important to you. Okay, now that you've done that, where are you? What are you doing? What are you smelling? What are you seeing? What are you feeling? What images are coming into your mind? And what people? And I want you to think about the people that you have removed. What people, and that's moving the negativity. Let's move into positivity. Now that's removing a lot of things. Now let's start adding things that really bring you alive. Who's there? What are they doing? What are they saying? What kind of conversations are they having? You know, where does this take you? Would it take you to a different city? Does it keep you in the same city? Would you be in a different part? Would you be in the country? Would you be out in the outskirts? Would you be working part-time? Would you be working for a big company or a small company or working for yourself? What would that look like for you? And then what I'd like you to do, now that you're thinking about what you're doing, who you're surrounded with, the people that bring you alive, doing the things that bring you alive, I'd like to take you ahead into your retirement. What does that look like? Where are you? Are you somebody that likes to travel a lot? Or are you somebody that's going to be close to all the kids and around your grandkids? Is that the kind of life that you want? Or are you a lake person? Are you an ocean person? And what I want you to do is wherever those places are that bring you joy, smell, what do they smell like? In terms of, you know, we love the smell of an ocean. I'm a mountain girl, so I smell mountain. That's my happy place. That's where I'm going. I'm living in the mountains myself, and I will go travel to see the kids. But that is my dream place. And then traveling around the world, that's where I go. But some people, that's not their dream. Because what you do is once you've talked, now we talked about removing the things that are stressing you. And then we start adding in the things that make you happy. And importantly, when you're thinking about these things, think about you removed the voices of the people who say that dream's not possible, because that's what's happened. Because, you know, you can open your eyes now, and one if you haven't already, because this is really transitions us into your tribe, because your tribe matters. They say we are the sum of the five people we listen to the most. And so if you're going to dare to dream, and deciding to get your financial house in order and start thinking of investments and thinking, we talked about creative investment earlier, just in this discussion. And I know that you have on some of your other shows, you've talked about some other creative options you can do for investing. If you have friends that aren't encouraging you along your financial dreams in terms of doing what you need to do to get your finances in order to be creative and make some changes, because sometimes you often hear people that I was in corporate for 20 years and then I realized I was just doing that and that wasn't who I am. That's not what I want to do. It's not what I value. And I want to make a change. Are you going to have people in your life who support that? And so that's one of the things I'd like to encourage you is think about what are my dreams, who's my tribe in that. And then what I want you to do is make a vision board with this. And you can even go through this exercise a few times, because once you do, it's like, yeah, this is a new thing. I might not have tried it before, but then you're like, wait a minute, let me entertain this a little bit more. You know, let me do this a few times and see where this dream goes, and then get a dream board. Don't let me fall off, because life will get hard. You know, you get in the carpooling, you do all that, you get into your groove of things. And you're like, oh my God, I forgot. I've got some dreams. And then your friend's like, hey, let's go have a girl, you know, let's go out to dinner. Let's have some wine. Let's discuss about, remember that dream you told me about? How's that going? Are you writing about it? You can write about it in your journals. You can start making changes in your life that fit into that. And you can, you know, be talking to your husbands, and you be talking to your families. Bring everybody into it and so that you can get a support system around you that will help you go towards that.
I love it. So I did this exercise as we were talking, and
where did you go?
So I was at the beach, but I was actually by myself. I think I've just been so stressed in general, just having no one for a little bit. It was nice. But then when you said to jump in the future, I jumped to a house with my husband and like kids and grandkids, which actually surprised me because I do love traveling and always envision traveling with the family. But the dinner table was actually where I went first as my first instinct.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. which is interesting. And yeah, I love what you said too with your friends. It's making me think, because a lot of my friends right now are just so, you know, COVID distraught and just so, like it's been hard for so many moms with COVID. And I find that it's also very hard for many moms to even have normal conversations, let alone deep conversations. And so I did finally just have a girls' weekend this past weekend, and it was just so cathartic to have friends and talk, have real conversations. And I would say, I know COVID's still in some areas of the country, still very rampant stuff. So whatever you can do, but if you can find a couple of friends to just have these vision dreams with, I promise you, you will feel so much better and so much transformed and more alive to be the better mom that you need to be for your kids. Because I didn't realize how bad
oxygen, right? You need to fill your cup before you can give out, right?
I know. And I didn't realize how bad my mental health was until I realized how much I was craving it, to have the deep connections, especially now with kids and you're running around and it's hard to always have that. And my husband's amazing, don't get me wrong, but it's, you know, sometimes it's just hard to even find time.
You just need to be with other mamas sometimes. You just need to get around. They know what's going on. And one of the things I'd recommend for everybody, as you said, this just came off the top of my head. I've not given this suggestion before, but I think it might be kind of fun for groups, is if you have a group of girls you together once a year, why don't you do this exercise once a year and do a dream and catch up? How fun would that be?
It was funny because I just was going to say that. So it's one thing to have a girls' weekend, but it's another thing to have it as a purposeful and to talk about money and to talk about the things that we may not feel comfortable with, and just see what your friends are doing. And maybe they don't have it together either, which could be reassuring. And then maybe it's like, okay, well, they don't have it together. Maybe we should find someone who does. And how can we grow together and learn together? Because like you said, holding someone accountable, if you do it as a group or community, you're so much better off or have like a higher success rate of whatever it is you're trying to achieve to go after when you have an actual support group with it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so important, because at the end of the day, if you don't have a support network, you're not going to stick to any goal.
Yeah. No, 100%.
Because the biggest voice in your head is the voice is your voice that says you can't or it won't. And I talk about the 7 excuses that keep us from where we want to go, you know.
Could you share them actually?
Yes. Well, let me tell you what they are.
You're so great,
they
Karen.
Are, yeah. The 2nd excuse is it's not the right time.
Check. I've heard all these.
Exactly. The 3rd excuse is I don't want to fail. The 4th excuse is it's not perfect. The 5th excuse is I'll never be like her. The comparison. Number 6 is it's not what I expected. And 7th is I don't have the time. But you know what, ladies? You don't have the time not to do it.
I know, especially when it comes to money.
Exactly. Yeah. And we actually outline each one of these in the book as well. So we go through this and you can go through exercises. And the other thing is we try to be really funny with it too. So we really try to.
It's a great book. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, you know, we all have those excuses. But if, you know, the thing about it, and that's why support groups are so important too, is because if you all know that, there's times when some people will be right and high and some people are lower, and you kind of there to remind each other and to lift each other up. You know, that's what sisterhoods are about, right?
Yeah. And with money, I know it could be so scary because it's this thing that no one wants to talk about because there's this, I feel like there's this dichotomy between living for now and then like, okay, but I have to save for the future, but I don't really want to save for the future because I want to enjoy the present. But if you don't save for the future, it's going to be so much harder for you in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Karen, is there anything else though that you would like to share or dive into before we enter our lightning round?
Yes. One of the things that I wanted to talk about, just to have people thinking about, and this even ties in with the dream a little bit, is know your value. It's really important to know your value. And that is just not actual monetary value, but know your value in terms of you as a person and how you give your time and what you give your time to. And again, that's about are all these things lined up. And if you're giving all your time to something that doesn't fill this dream that we just talked about, everybody gets hurt because you're not living into who you really are called to be. And that's what brings you alive. And so you know your value in terms of from a job, from a monetary compensation perspective, if you're working outside the home, and don't give yourself away. One of the women often have a problem of not knowing their value and just saying, okay, I'm not worthy, so I'll take the lowest bidder. And have confidence. We are better than that. You know your value, and then put boundaries on your time and what you'll do with it, and make sure that you're putting your time and your energy in, you know, where you want to go, because the energy flows, right? Where you're thinking about, and the law of attraction. And so if you're putting all your energy into things that aren't going to get you to where you need to go, that is one place, that's where your energy is going to go. Things are going to attract to. And people are like, yeah, that's an easy person to take offline. And so to bringing it back to home and bringing it back to the girlfriends and saying, is this getting you to your dream? So that's something that I know. And we are so incredibly value. And I just want everybody to actually believe that they have that value and that they can stand to that proudly.
I love that message. For someone who is having that self-doubt, do you have any motivation or anything, any tips that they could do to get back on track?
Let me see. In terms of,
if they're scared, the imposter syndrome.
Yeah. That's one of those is what, you know, something that is important to remember is actually, I know how I'm going to answer that question. I'm going to take this a different direction than I was going to originally answer it. Is one of the things a little bit when you have imposter syndrome about what's important and doing things with excellence is when you are not doing what you're good at and what you're supposed to be doing, you're depriving the world of that thing that you have to offer. And that is one thing that especially you get people, they're starting new businesses, that often happens like, oh, I can't do it. I won't. It's like the people who are supposed to be receiving whatever you're offering, they deserve that. And so don't deprive them of that because of insecurity.
That's a really good answer. Yeah. And it's very true. And I feel like it's so easy to have imposter syndrome because there's this feel you just said of like, I am not like the seven things. I'm not a comparison. I'm not worthy. Who am I to do this? Why should I do this? Especially around money. I don't know money. Why should I be wealthy or why should I have my money in order? I never had access. So all the excuses you could think of.
You know, and one little bonus I'll put on there too is don't be afraid to share your story and your struggle. Because I was just talking to a girlfriend about this earlier today, and she was afraid of sharing her story with somebody. And then she finally had the courage to do it. And the person she shared it with, she's like, I don't feel so alone anymore. And now I can go try to do something. And so don't feel shame in anything, whatever your story is, wherever you are, because there's so many other people that probably are in your same boat. And then you'll realize, oh, wait a minute, we both were in the closet thinking about these things. And once we got it out there, then you can actually do something with it once it's out there.
Yeah, I know that's my own mental block. I feel like sometimes who am I to teach on something when or do or whatever it may be, talk about something when I feel like I have so much left to learn on the spectrum. But then I have to constantly remind myself that you just need to be one step ahead of someone else to have an impact. Like, yeah. And sometimes that's even more relatable than being 10, 20, 30 steps ahead, trying to help someone. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The best time too is to start now and share now.
Yes. Yeah. No, that's so true, Karen. I really like that. I also know that one other thing though that you had mentioned was when you're aligning your goals with everything and your values, one thing I was also thinking of was the legacy that you want to leave and how that moves into the next stage. And we kind of talked a little bit about that.
Yeah. You know, and that goes a little bit, and this is both from the finances, because you have it finances, you have it from things. And you have it from what kind of person do you want to be? Like, how do you want to be remembered? Yeah. And how are those things lined up? Because, and when you're thinking legacy, that's also, again, thinking just beyond yourself as well. What matters to me? We didn't get into this. We don't have time on this call, but part of all this exercise is, you know, who are you here to serve? Whenever you serve people outside of yourselves, besides your children, obviously, and your children are very important. That's something that's a little bit inherent. But when, you know, trying to teach your children the importance of service, because that's something that's a way to fill your cup, actually, is to go and help others. And so working with children is something you really have a heart for working with children. And there's some Children's Defense Fund, or there's a foster care system, and that's someplace that you want to be able to leave a legacy and be able to leave money for, or sow into that money is during this time. Is that's something to really start thinking about. And again, that's why talking about that dream exercise. How do I want to be remembered, both as a person from a character perspective, and how did I give and who did I give to, and also did I steward my things well? But also who can benefit from these choices that I made. And so my legacy can live on.
No, Karen, I love this all. So no, it's all amazing. No, it's so good though. And I think it's just so real and so relatable that moms need to hear this. And even just the way you're speaking about it, it's just, it just makes it not so scary. It doesn't have to be scary. We said earlier, just go with your friends. Plan a mom's night out, even if it's not a weekend, just plan a mom's night out, hang out and just talk about some things, do these exercises together. I love that. I would love that. If you do this, please send me a message. Any of you moms out there who do this, please send me a message and let me know how it goes.
I think that we've got a challenge on our hands.
Yes. Yes. I want to know. I want to hear from you, and I would love it. And I'm going to challenge myself to do this too. And I will report back to get a couple of friends together and do this, because you think you don't have enough time for it, or it's not whatever. Oh, I don't want to sit there and talk to my friends about money. I don't care. Just do it. I'm going to do it too and see how it goes. Cause it actually sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right, Karen, well, this is awesome. I would like to do our lightning round. This is where I ask my guests the same four questions each week. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Awesome. So Karen, what is one fun fact about you that not many people know?
And that is the fact is that I took a year between my freshman and sophomore years of college, and I hitchhiked across South America.
Amazing.
And then I lived in northern Brazil in a village with no running water or electricity. And I learned how to carry I learned how to carry dishes on my head.
I love it. That's awesome. How long were you in Brazil for?
I was in Brazil for 6 months.
Wow. How did you end up there?
Well, I went with the kind of a quasi Peace Corps type of group. And so we traveled through, we hitchhiked through the Spanish speaking countries. So it was Uruguay, Paraguay, Argentina, Chile, Peru, and Bolivia.
Wow. That's a lot of
countries. Then, yeah, I rode on a banana boat through the Amazon.
Ugh, I'm jealous.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was a totally unsafe time to be in South America, but I was 19 and I didn't care. My parents thought I'd lost my mind. But
yeah, no, my friends and I, we did the Europe trip. We backpacked. We did a lot of silly things that as a mom, I would never let my child do.
I know, exactly.
Well, question number two is, who inspires you the most and why?
I have a friend. Her name is Kaylee McMahon. And she calls herself the apartment queen. And she really inspires me because she has currently started a commercial apartment fund. And what she's done is it's usually very expensive to buy into the apartment buildings. And so what she's done, she's creating a fund to let the women be able to, women who, and particularly women who have just gotten out of bad relationships or been abused relationships and people. Her goal is she wants to be able to arm women so the fact they don't have to stay in abusive relationships just for financial purposes. And so she's creating these funds and enable them to be able to get on their feet and so that they can have some financial security. And so I've worked with her a lot, and she's got this app that is called SheVestors. She wants to get a billion women on it and be able to inspire them to become financially secure and get financially educated. And she is just taking the world by storm, and she really inspires me every day.
It's amazing. I'd love to put a link to her app in the show
notes. Yes, I will. I'll do that for you.
Awesome. That'd be great. All right. Well, question number three is, what books are you reading now or have read that you loved and would recommend?
My number one favorite is Atomic Habits by James Clear.
That's a good
and
one.
It informs me. I actually got my 19-year-old son over the summer to read it, and he took it into his frat and he's taught the Atomic Habits. So that's a powerful book if you can get the frat boys to be buying into it. You know, and I just finished up this book called The Art of Impossible by Steve Kotler. It's really, really good. And it's talk about He's somebody who is in the extreme sports, and he was a journalist for that. And he just talks about how living the impossible, and it's a little bit of a dare to dream type book.
That sounds really good. I'll have to put that on my book list.
Yeah.
Thank you. Awesome. Well, the last question is, what is one actionable tip or piece of advice that you can tell our moms out there to help them on their financial independence journey?
And I actually gave a lot of them away while we were talking. But one thing, like I said, let this action item, I want the one action item to be get together and do this dream circle with your girlfriend.
Yeah, I love that idea.
And to report back on it. That's an action item. We give you permission to your getaway.
Yeah, and go to investormama.com/connect. You could join the Facebook group, Instagram, all that. Email me. I want to know what you're doing. I want to hear how it went. I want to hear some of your goals, what it was like to do it, anything you learned that may have been a surprise or that made you feel good or made you feel bad, all of the above. I would really love to hear from you. So
also we have our group, and it's called Mind of Gold, and the links that'll be in the show notes as well. And so let's cross-fertilize. Let's share.
So Karen, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. How can my listeners connect with you further?
Yeah, we have a few ways. You can go directly to our website, which is finliteracyforher.com. I'm more than happy to also give you my direct email. It's karen@finliteracyforher.com. I love to hear from you directly. Feel free to reach out to me directly. We have access to our courses and our books on the website. And also, I invite you to join our Facebook group called Mind of Gold. And there we have a community to support each other and where we share lots of financial tips.
Amazing. Karen, thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Thank you.
Alrighty, that wraps up another amazing episode of the Investor Mama podcast. It was so much fun interviewing Karen. And I know we talked about a lot of different topics, but they were all great and all relevant. And I hope that you took away great value from it. And also try these exercises with some friends. I know I mentioned this at the beginning of the episode, but I'm excited to do this as a girls' night. I think it'll be fun to just make money conversations normal. We talk about the kids, we talk about all these things. Let's talk about money and let's make having money conversations not so taboo and more part of our everyday life and our everyday circle. Let's learn from each other. Let's see what we're doing. Let's see what we're doing great, where we're struggling, where we're not. Engage your girlfriends, ladies. It makes the journey more fun as well. But if you did enjoy today's episode, along with my other content, please subscribe on the platform that you're listening to and leave a rating and written review. It really helps the providers know you're finding value with my content. And if you do, send me a screenshot because I'd love to send you a free Investor Mama calculator. So definitely go do that. And also feel free to share on social media. If we're not friends, definitely come friend me. You can go to investormama.com/connect. You can join the Investor Mama Facebook group, join the tribe. You can find me on Instagram and all the above. Definitely go check me out on social because I would love to hear from you. I'd love to connect with you. So don't be a stranger. I really mean that. And with that, this is Investor Mama. I will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Investor Mama podcast. If you like today's episode, please support us by clicking subscribe on the platform you are currently listening to, leaving a comment or awesome review, and spreading the wealth and sharing this podcast with friends and family or on social media. Don't forget to check out investormama.com to connect with our community and sign up for our email. Stay tuned for next week's episode.